Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, August 14th, 2018, and going with the chapter title, Gratitude. I think that's what we were just praying as we finished up before this program, thanking God for our health, for the abilities that we have, for the ways he works in people's lives, how he answers prayer, how he supplies our every need, how he goes above and beyond, let alone the grace and mercy and what he's done through the Lord Jesus. You know, many times when I ever come to a certain point, I just have to think about, you know, he gave the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Does he have to do anything else? I mean, does he have to ever answer a prayer? Does he have to supply any need? Not really. He's done it all in that one act. And it's like, gosh, Lord, you don't have to really do anything else. And yet he has, and now I'll speak personally, hopefully many people can identify, but he has blessed me in untold number of ways and a variety of answers and spoiled me. Spoiled the, what do they say? Spoiled the dickens out of me?
That's what they used to say.
What is the dickens?
I don't know. Okay, well, there's a lot of things, those old sayings I don't know.
But I've just thought, and I've seen miraculous things. You know, I've told some of the stories over the air on how he provided for the radio ministry, and I've often thought he doesn't really need to do a single thing ever again. And I would hope that I could be content. But when you just think about what he did through the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, what else can be said? He's provided, he's sacrificed, he's done that finished work so that I can have eternal life. And I'm speaking on behalf of everyone, so that anyone that follows Jesus can have that eternal life secured. And I don't know. So anyways, we were talking, as we were praying, we were talking about gratitude, and that's the name of this chapter.
Well, you know, you reminded me when you were talking of, I know you've been to Seders, and there's that one part in many of them anyway, where they list off these things like he helped through the Red Sea and God did this.
Now, Marian's talking about the Seder meal, for somebody unfamiliar maybe
Jewish Passover. And the people around the table all say at the same time, it would have been enough. and that's what I thought of when you were talking. Just Jesus alone, it would have been enough.
May we have that heart of gratitude, which happens to be the chapter title, number 10 of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. And if you've tuned in for many Tuesdays in the past so many months, we've been reading a chapter, a chapter or two. Today there's a chance we'll read about gratitude.
Oh, there's always a chance.
And about spiders and snakes. So we'll see if we can get to that. But gratitude is an attitude that we should have. And
that's an old saying. I like it.
And you named this gratitude a specific reason why?
Well, we'll just read it.
Just,
see if we can make it work.
See if you could figure out why.
Okay. The first house we lived in on our mission station was a tin, pre-assembled affair. It had been erected by the first builders on the station as a temporary dwelling, while bricks were made and the sturdier brick houses were being built. While we were certainly grateful for a roof over our heads, the porous nature of the little tin house left much to be desired. Scorpions, lizards, tarantulas, worms, and all manner of bugs found their way easily into the prefabricated house. There was no keeping up with them. Try as we might, there was no way to make the tin hinges, the poor foundation, or the dilapidated points on this little house airtight or even flush.
Now, is this like the same house where the... What were they, weebles that got into the flower?
No, it was a different house.
Okay, but so everyone in this area is used to these kind of
the
things.
Oh, the saga continues. Let me tell you, there's so much more that's not in this book. Give thanks to the Lord, the Bible says repeatedly. But how hard sometimes. Modern science is confirming what common sense has told us for a long time, that simple gratitude is one of the most profound and energizing of all emotions. It turns the mind to new horizons, rejuvenates the soul, and lifts the spirit to a lighter place. We don't even have to start out by trying to be grateful for difficulties. Just learning to be grateful for the meal in front of us, for a running car, or for a child waking up healthy, if we truly feel it, this kind of gratefulness can change everything.
Yeah, it's almost like a mind shift.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we can all complain about something.
Oh, yeah.
But look at all the things that we take for granted that we could be grateful for. And, well, they always say if we could shift our mindset, it would change everything.
I had a friend that said that just yesterday. She said, I just woke up and thought, I need to be grateful for all the stuff that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's right.
It was in our little bug-ridden house that I learned this profound lesson. One particular day brought dozens of scorpions running across our floors. I stood on the old sofa in the living room sobbing as they ran in every direction underneath me. My parents tried their best to get the scorpions out of the house, and then, after a good long time of their comforting me, I settled down with a book, relatively secure. It began to rain, a welcome sound after the months of heat. The large drops echoed off the tin roof. My mother sat with my father in the living room and shared tea. "Cyril, when it's all said and done, and we get back to America, in a house of our own, do you think we could have a little porch? You could put a tin roof on it. You and I could sit out there together like this, drink tea, and listen to the rain. Where do you go to get that kind of life spirit? How do you learn to be grateful? By starting with the smallest thing in front of you, even if it means having to close your eyes and only listen to the beautiful sound of the rain as it hits an old tin roof, we find what we look for.
Oh, read that again. Everyone, listen up. This is a word for you. It's a word for me.
We find what we look for. Today, look for gratitude. Look for one thing, no matter how ordinary, to be grateful for, even if you have to close your eyes and simply listen, or remember, or hope for.
Hey, the mere fact that they can listen, that their ears work, that
true.
They can hear, that's a blessing.
It is.
You know, you turn on the faucet, that you have running water.
Oh, my goodness.
Hot
that's
or
touching.
Cold. That you could be in an air-conditioned environment. Or maybe you don't have air conditioning, but you have a fan in the window, you have electricity, that there's food on the table or some food maybe in the refrigerator, in the cupboard. Or just the fact that our bodies function, that our hearts are beating, that we can breathe in air, that we have sight. Now, there's some people that are probably sight impaired or, you know, but there's other things that they can be thinking of, that their minds work. I think that's just a great thing, that we can entertain the idea that we can think about God, that we can talk to him, that we can pray. I mean, that our brains function, because there's people that their brains don't function for various reasons or illness or age or handicaps or whatever. And so we can have a sense of touch. I mean, it's just, it's kind of endless. So I think that if we can just look around, you know, the possessions that we're clothed. I mean, you know, it's endless. So I've had some friends, I remember, had an impact on me years ago when they prayed for some simple things. This was many, many years ago, but it's always kind of stuck with me. The fact that we got to sleep in a bed last night.
Again,
realizing not everyone maybe tuned in has a bed, maybe for various reasons
around
they're
the world
in a sleeping bag. But you're better off than somebody somewhere. You know, there are people, that are out on the streets, and you might have a shelter. It's not the ideal dream home, but it's still four walls around you that protects you. Maybe they don't have scorpions running on their floors at them. You know how terrifying that would be.
Oh, yes, it was. You know, so, actually,
so there's just many things that we can be grateful for.
I'll read the ending prayer. Yeah. Father, give me a heart of gratitude, not of made-up superficial gratitude, but of true gratitude and thankfulness. Help me understand, in my heart of hearts, what it means to have food to eat, a bed to sleep in, and a roof over my head.
Hey, it's like I read ahead.
I know, and you didn't. That's really easy.
That's right.
I was thinking that. Help me let go of greed and self-pity. Show me a good and right way to live in this world. Let gratitude, one of the greatest of emotions, become part of my character and spill out from my life to all those around me.
An attitude of gratitude.
Yeah, I like that phrase.
Let's have that all today. Even in your points of suffering, we were talking about Job earlier.
Yeah, we didn't get very far.
It's like,
he
had a hard time, but even he found out and made some changes in his life. Lessons learned. So
that's a hard one.
Even in a hard time.
God spare us from such hard lessons.
Right. Spiders and snakes. Wow, what a transition.
Yeah, moving on.
Could we be grateful for spiders and snakes? Yeah, for varying degrees. I'm sure they have their purposes. And
I'll read it.
God created them.
Chapter 11, Spiders and Snakes. As things get built up, whether it is across the American West or in the African bushlands, it's only a matter of time before humans take over. And the wildlife, insects, and snakes are pushed further and further to the side. But before that happens, there is a long period when it's more accurate to say that the humans are living in the abode of the animals and insects, not the other way around. Hmm. And this is where we found ourselves on our mission station. They had been pushed nowhere back then. We felt quite successful if the snakes and the spiders were pushed back a few inches from the house. Behind our house, at the end of our station, there was a clearing where the dirt road that went around nearly the entire station ended, right there on the hill where our house sat. Beyond the clearing was a gorgeous splash of subtropical plants and trees, followed by a burst of brilliant red poinsettias tumbling wildly down over many rocks. Frangipani trees scattered around a path that descended off the hill to eventually start up again as the road. It was not a sculptured garden, just trees and plants winding their beautiful and riotous way across the ground, down the rising hill behind us and here and there around the house.
So poinsettias were in Africa, too.
Oh, goodness, yes. Mm. Tropical, yeah. Wow. Subtropical in that part. Flowering trees and plants.
I like your riotous way across the ground, too. That's a classic word.
That's my favorite kind of flowers, just crazy everywhere. Flowering trees and plants bombarded us when the rains fell. Rock walls had been built in a couple of places, someone's attempt to keep the bush at bay from the gushing flowers, but not always successfully. Hmm. Beyond the walls, the bush completely took over. Interspersed with the famous rocks of Zimbabwe, jutting their way through the underbrush. The underbrush was thick, the trees were close, and paths wandered off to various locales or just eventually petered out altogether as the bush took over. My natural love of adventure was in high gear. Mm-hmm. I explored those areas far and wide, both on my own or with friends, and sometimes got lost. I liked to lie high on top of a rock formation, resting from an excursion down a long footpath, watching and waving to the villagers below. After school...
Now, how'd your parents feel about these?
I don't know. God bless my mother. I mean that. Yeah. Many times I've said that. After school, I would often sit on one of the prehistoric-looking granite rock slabs to the side of our house, waiting for the Legavon I had befriended to come out and sit beside me to sun himself. Hmm. A Legavon is a type of rock monitor lizard. They can grow to 6 feet long and up to 30 pounds, and they look somewhat like an iguana. He never hurt me as we sat there together.
a little conversation.
Yeah, though I've heard since that sometimes they bite quite ferociously. Hmm. There were many green and black mambas near our house. More than once we found one happily sunning himself on our screened-in veranda in the morning or afternoon. It was unnerving, because a mamba's bite can kill within minutes. One family found a cobra wound under their bed springs. They had heard movement under the bed during the night and got up to discover the snake. Hmm. Apparently, cobras like to go into houses to escape the heat, mostly in barely developed areas, which is certainly where we were. Hmm. I stood behind our house one afternoon watching a spitting cobra dangle from a tree limb. He was as long as the similarly colored grapevine dangling beside him, and he was eyeing me, which was scary, since a spitting cobra can spit its venom up to 9 feet and aims for the eye of its prey, sometimes causing blindness. A number of boa constrictors, puff adders, and boomslang snakes were often seen around our home, in the bush and on the mission station. I had a frightening run-in with a coiled Cape cobra, his hood spread out, poised to strike me. He was in the middle of his strike, my foot less than an inch from him, and he simply stopped, mid-strike. It could only be God who protected me, because almost nothing on earth is fast enough to escape the lightning strike of a poised Cape cobra. I was afraid of the spiders. In the little tin house we lived in before moving to the top of the hill, we had many. When the chairman of the Mission Society came to visit, a rare occurrence for our mission station, my mother was so upset because the night before he arrived, we found two tarantulas right where he was to sleep. A tarantula's poison can make a person very sick, but we had no real way to keep them out. One of my most vivid memories is of an enormous spider that looked like a naked baby bird crawling under my bed before I had to sleep there. We had no electricity at that point, only flashlights or kerosene lamps to look for it. We couldn't find it. It had most likely crawled high up into the bed frame. I had nowhere else to sleep, no place of escape. I lay in bed that night, staring at the darkness, tears streaming down my face. You can go to the large cities.
Now, you've lived to tell the story, so it didn't appear that night and didn't bite you, obviously.
I didn't.
But, wow, what memories.
Yeah. You can go to the large cities of sub-Saharan Africa today and easily not see a single deadly spider or snake. You can even go on a sightseeing safari now and not be in any particular danger. It was different then, on our mission station, where we had to have guns in case a wild animal ventured near us, and a hospital that specialized in crocodile and snake bites, as well as longhorn cattle gorings. Hippo attacks were not uncommon.
Yeah, in fact, there was a hippo attack I read just, you get those news feeds that got a tourist and something.
Yeah.
I guess hippos are notorious for attacking and killing people.
Yes,
you think, big hippo won't get me
Disney's
in there fast.
Disney's hippo, no, they're probably the most dangerous. Of African wildlife, in sheer numbers of attacks. We were situated just above the Lowveld, a place that was, at that time, teeming with wild animals. I think, though, that in our modern technology-driven world, we must not be complacent. In the grandest, most high-rise penthouse in the world, there are things that are just as dangerous as a poisonous snake or a crocodile. Perhaps far more so. As it says in Romans 1:30, there are actually people who are inventors of evil. What a horrifying thing. Jesus said not to fear those who can kill only the body. Rather, be concerned about what might land us in trouble eternally. Luke 12:4-5. True evil, not the venom of snakes and spiders, is what can destroy us forever. Death from a poisonous spider is a tragic loss of life, and certainly not the way the world was originally created to operate. But eternal fate from a poisonous, deadly evil of the spirit is far more fatal. I learned something from those spiders and snakes. Yes, even from them. They taught me skills of observation.
Now, this is going back to the last chapter, being grateful. You're finding the grateful.
Learn something even from them.
Yeah.
They taught me skills of observation while I walked in the bush. Yes, they did. But something else. I learned that a person can't play around with deadly things. Hmm. Deadly creatures kill. That is fact, not theory. And those deadly things are not just in the jungle or the bush country. Deadly things can also be spiritual, taking the life right out of a person. There are things not to try, things not to risk, because it can be a matter of a very short window of time to attempt to reverse the effects. Father, we pray as Jesus taught us, deliver us from evil. We pray for protection from all danger, and particularly from the dangers contrived by the inventors of evil. Put your shield of love and light around us, that the darkness of that danger will always pass us by, leaving us unscathed by its evil. You dwell in light. Protect us with it.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, those people that are the creators of evil.
Yeah, inventors of evil.
It might be one thing to say they're out there. You know, the bad's easy to identify because they're out there. But I think it's Paul or Peter or James. They're in the church, too, which is almost more diabolical because you would assume you could trust those in the fellowship in the church.
That's an excellent point, Mark.
We're all one, unifying, growing towards God in
that's
his godly character. And yet...
Wheat and tares.
Yeah, and then there are the wolves in sheep's clothing that are right in there. So we do need to be not only mindful of those bad people out there, but bad people close to us. And sometimes we can be those bad people, too.
It's the value of good teaching and good fellowship and good community to keep us all in the right way.
Spiders and snakes, chapter 11.
Sleep
chapter
well,
10.
Folks.
Gratitude. Yeah, all of you could be
when nighttime
grateful.
Comes.
Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking how grateful they should be that they don't have these spiders and snakes and pythons. I think there was another thing. You do your email or you do the Facebook, and these things pop up. And there was this python, some guy in Australia, and the kids were out in the yard, and it was like a 12-foot python going up the side of his house, onto his roof, into the gutters, and I'm like,
oh yeah.
And they're just talking about they're shooting basketballs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, if that thing fell on the ground, I'd be running pretty quick.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We could be grateful that we don't have all that going on. But
some people ask me, have asked me when they read that, why didn't you go get in bed with your mom and dad or something, you know? That sounds scary. They don't understand. My father was dealing with worms in the bed where he was. I'm serious, at that night. It's like, oh, I'm going to go there,
I saw, you upgrade to worms. Oh, you can purchase your copies of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins here at the Great News Radio Center or online. Just type in Memories of an African Son, Marianne Simpkins, S-I-M-K-I-N-S. S-I-M-K-I-N-S.
Thank you.
And like I said, you can come by here, usually Monday through Friday, 10 to 4 p.m.
We say that, but you're often here 9 at night.
Yeah.
We're not putting that out there.
You're if you see the light on at 10 at night,
if you see the light on, just pray for Martin.
Come on in, knock on the door. We have copies. I highly recommend it. I think you'll be blessed by it. And we'll continue on these upcoming Tuesdays to read more chapters, so get your copy so you can read along with us. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
God bless you.